evening to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read some verses here. He says in verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Verse 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now those are all the words of Jesus Christ. Now if you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. These are the last words of Jesus Christ before He went back to heaven. Or the last words recorded in the Bible, I should say, of Christ. It says in verse 20 of Revelation 22, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." That was His promise and His warning. John's response was very simple. "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." He was ready. I want to preach tonight a message entitled, "Living in the Light of Christ's Coming." Now, in the verses that we just read, the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing the fact that He is without a doubt coming again. Over and over and over again, especially in the New Testament, we are admonished to watch for the coming of the Lord, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, to be in a constant state of readiness and anticipation for His return. I mean, the very last words that someone speaks that are recorded in the Word of God, He says with authority, "Behold." That's a word that ought to arrest our attention. Something very important is about to be announced. "Behold, I come quickly." Say, well, that's been 2,000 years ago. Well, if you compare 2,000 years to eternity, it's not a very long time. Now, in spite of all these admonitions and all of the warnings we find in the Word of God concerning the return of the Lord Jesus, I fear that a lot of professing Christians don't believe a word of it. I think about it as evidenced by the way most people live, including you and I. Now let me give you a practical example of this. I think that when you read the Bible, it ought to apply to you, not just to the person that you're thinking, boy, they really need this message. I used to have a deacon that come out and he'd say, "Boy, you really skinned them today." And I said, "I got you too, brother." But as you went about your week this week, you went about your daily routine, I want to ask you, did you give any thought to the fact that Jesus Christ could come at any moment? Did it cross your mind Monday morning as you were getting ready to go to work and as you drove there, as you went through your daily exercises, whatever you had to do, did you give any thought that today may be the day when I hear Jesus Christ say, "Come up hither"? Now, if we're honest, we often go through our days, our weeks, and we don't give a lot of thought to the fact that Jesus may come today. Did you even once consider that the Lord was going to come back, and the very next event for you on the prophetic calendar would be to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of how you served the Lord, the motives for which you did it. Have you given any thought to the fact that Christ could come tonight? And that you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. Now, the first thing I want to bring out tonight is that the coming of the Lord is imminent. And the word imminent simply means threatening to occur at any moment. It means that Christ could come at any time. No one knows the day or the hour of His coming, but we're to live our lives as though He is coming today. I'll never forget the day of my ordination. There were a lot of pastors there, and I think I might have memorized the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. I mean, I was just rifling off answers. And they asked me, they said, "When do you believe the Lord's coming back?" And I said, "Today." And it kind of shocked them. But that's what I believe. I believe He could come today. The Bible says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time that we awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And the salvation that He's talking about is the redemption of the body. Our souls have already been saved and made right, and we're justified before God. And one day, we're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him when He comes again. James 5:8 says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." You believe that tonight? You know, all you got to do is look around. I believe the last days have been going on since Jesus came in the first advent. But it appears to me that we are living in perilous times. That we may be in the last of the last days. And we are seeing things come to pass in our lifetime that many people never thought they would see. The acceleration of wickedness, the hostility toward genuine Christianity and to the Word of God, the hatred for the living God. We are seeing it perhaps like never before. He's coming. Could be tonight. The fact is, He's going to come exactly in God's appointed time. Not 1 minute sooner or later. I guarantee it. If somebody says that they've done the mathematical calculations like some bozo did back in September and said it's going to be September 28th at such and such time, I always tell my church, you mark it down, there ain't no way the Lord's coming back then. Because you don't know the day or the hour. You cannot predict it. But He is coming again. And the fact is, there's going to be a whole lot of people completely and entirely taken by surprise. There are going to be lost sinners who are going to be left here when the saints of God are raptured out. And there is going to be literally be all kinds of horrific things that are going to take place on the earth. And they're going to be left to suffer the terrible judgments that are going to be poured out by God. I believe that's real. Jesus said that there'll be a time of tribulation unlike anything the world has ever seen. I believe that I'm delivered from the wrath to come. That when Jesus comes, I'm going to go up with Him. But people are going to be left here, and they're going to be saved people who are going to be surprised by the coming of the Lord. I believe they'll lose rewards because of it. Well, the first thing I'd like to examine tonight, the Bible says this in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Well, that's a sobering passage of Scripture to me. I mean, how I live my life, what I'm doing when the Lord's come, when He comes back, will I be ashamed before Him at His coming? What a motivation for you and I to live godly, holy, sanctified lives as we anticipate the coming of the Lord. Now, first of all, I want to show you from the Bible how most people live in the light of this teaching of Christ's coming. If you would, you should be there in Matthew 24 if you held your place. And look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not till the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, the people in Noah's day paid no attention whatsoever to the warnings of the preacher. In fact, the overwhelming majority of Earth's population did not believe a word of Noah's preaching. He was building the ark. They no doubt were wondering, what in the world are you building a boat for? There's never even been any rain on the earth. There was a water vapor canopy that made the earth just lush and green and ideal temperature for growth. And Noah's there building this ark. And you know, I believe that he warned them that judgment was coming, and that the only way that they could escape it is if they would get on the ark with him. You know how many people responded to the message? There were just multitudes. No. Only 8 souls were saved. Only 8 souls believed the message of the preacher, the warnings of the preacher. You know, by God's grace, I've seen a lot more people saved than 8, just 8. In my short life and in my ministry, and how thankful I am for every soul that heeds the warning. Everyone that God calls out of darkness into His marvelous light. But you and I, in the day and age in which we live, we're not seeing sinners saved, perhaps like they did in days of old. Not many people are believing the idea that Jesus Christ is coming again. I remember when I was first saved, and this was the teaching that arrested my attention in 1980. I was a heathen. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I couldn't have told you what the Ten Commandments were. And a man began to witness to me and tell me that Jesus Christ was coming again, and that I need to repent and I need to believe the gospel. And I tell you, it tore me up. It went all over me. Now, I wasn't saved. And before I was ever saved, I remember he took out a New Testament. And he was showing me these passages in Matthew and Mark and Luke and Revelation. And I said, hey, would you mark those verses for me? And I said, do you have another one of those books? I didn't even know you called it the New Testament. He said, here, I'm going to give you this one. I'll mark it for you. And I'd be out with my friends. And we'd get to carrying on. I had that little New Testament in my back pocket. I thought it would bring me good luck. Like I said, I was a heathen. And every once in a while, I'd pull it out before I was ever saved, and I'd go to those passages that were marked, and I'd read those passages to my friends, and they said, well, you talk about putting a lead balloon on the park, just taking the air out of everything. And they said, Ross, what's wrong with you? Put that away. But I knew that the Lord was coming back, and it troubled me. But you know, a lot of people, they don't give it a moment's thought as they see what's going on. And the people in Noah's day, they went about their daily business as if they had no accountability to God. They lived carelessly. They lived selfishly. They lived immorally. They lived unfaithfully. They had no devotion to God, no accountability to God. And I fear that there are many people who profess to be saved, who are living just like the people in Noah's day, with no urgency about serving the Lord, no anticipation or earnest expectation of His soon return. It's wrong to live that way. We ought to live as though He could come today, that His coming is imminent. I heard a story told about three apprentice devils who were trying to go up in the ranks, and the first apprentice devil said, "I'll go and tell people there is no God." Satan said, "Nah, most people won't believe that. We've tried that." The second one said, "I'll go and say that there is no hell." He said, "The Jehovah's Witnesses have tried that. It ain't gone over real well. Most people won't believe that." The third one said, "I'll go and tell people they have plenty of time. Not to worry about it. Eat, drink, and be merry." He said, "You go and tell that story far and wide." And you know, a lot of people have embraced that philosophy in our day and age. Then there are others who call themselves servants of God, and they convince themselves that the Lord has delayed His coming. Look at verse 49. It says, or verse 48, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth His coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here's somebody that said they were a servant of the Lord, who professed, at least with their mouth, but acted like the hypocrites. This is somebody that's not saved, that says that they're saved, but they believe that the Lord is delaying His coming. I remember when my boys were little, they shared a bedroom. And now my daughter had her own room. And I mean everything, except my daughter was particular about everything. Everything in order. My boys, exact opposite. I'd go in there and they'll have footballs out, baseballs out, cars, army men. And they'll be in there just like in the midst of it all, playing with it, all at the same time. And I'd say, "Boys, you need to get this room cleaned up." And they'd say, "Oh, yeah, we do." I said, "Now I want it cleaned up. Now when I come back, you better have stuff in order. Get it cleaned up." And I mean business. And I did. They received many spankings from me. Even though this is on tape, that's the truth. They did get a lot of spankings. Amen. And they said, "Well, when are you coming back?" I said, "Don't you worry about that. You just have this thing cleaned up." And, "Okay, Dad." Well, I shut the door and went about my business and came back an hour later. And they're just, just going everywhere, doing everything. Hardly picked up anything. Boy, it grieved my heart. They didn't heed my warning. I said, "Boys, this ain't going to hurt me near as much as it's going to hurt you. I mean, I told them the truth. I told you I'm coming back. You better have the room cleaned up." And you know, I fear that's the way that God, He's warned us as His children, and we're often just playing around with the toys of this life, not showing any urgency or concern about cleaning things up and doing what's right as we anticipate His soon return. Now, still others scoff and mock at the coming of the Lord. 2 Peter 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, Where is the promise of His coming?" A lot of people like that today. Now, how should we, as God's people, how are we to live in the light of this teaching about the coming of Jesus Christ? I believe that we're to live in a constant state of readiness. We ought to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. We ought to heed the warnings. We ought to believe the promises. Do you believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness? Do you believe the book? If you do, then you have to believe the verses that we've just read. That He's coming again, that it's going to be soon, that we're to be ready, that we're to be prepared, that we're to be looking, that we're to be anticipating the coming of the Lord. He's coming soon. Look there in Matthew 24 and verse 42, where He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, think about this. I want to show you how much respect you have for one another and for relatives. You ever have somebody call you up, say, hey, we're coming to visit? And what goes into motion? And thank God for relatives that call you and tell you that they're coming. Amen. You ever had somebody come to your house? Now, surely this never's happened to any of you, but it's happened to me before. And my wife. We had three kids under the age of five, just one right after the other. And I remember one time somebody, all of a sudden we hear somebody knocking on the door. We weren't ready. I mean, this was unannounced. We didn't have a dishwasher. We had dishes in the sink. And I said, Tammy, who is that? She said, I don't know. I said, I'll get the door. You put the dishes in the oven. Yeah, that's what ovens are for, part of it, you know. And that's a little tip. Now, if you ever come visiting, don't open our oven, just in case. But what happens when you know people are coming, you start getting ready. I remember when we moved from the Cincinnati and Dayton area down to where we're at now, down at Mount Pleasant in Chesapeake, Ohio. And it was like we moved to another world. It was 3 hours away. We hadn't been away from our parents hardly at all. And we packed up everything we owned, took our three little kids down there to Buffalo Creek Road. And I can remember the very first time, boy, we were homesick, that my mom and dad called and said, hey, we're coming to visit on such and such day. And we said, great, we couldn't wait. Man, we were spit shy in that place. We had all the kids. By that time, our kids were 8, 6, and 4. And man, one of them was sweeping. One of them was folding something. None of them was doing, dusting. And every once in a while, I'd say, are they here yet? And all the kids would run out to the couch and look out. No, they're not. Get back to work. We were cleaning everything up. And every once in a while, I'd be ornery. I'd say, they're here. And they'd run out there to look up, get up, pile up. I'd say, nah, just kidding. Get back to work. But I can remember the feeling when we were ready and we saw him pull up in the driveway. I tell you, tears of joy went down my face. I hadn't seen my mom and dad for months. And my kids, their faces were beaming as my mom and dad got out of the car and walked up the sidewalk. I mean, we were ready. And it was a time of great joy in our hearts. A wonderful reunion. You know, when you know people are coming, you get things in order. You did a great job. Well, that house is thick and span. My room's like a hotel room. Like a maid fit in there, man. It's really nice. They knew I was coming. And everything's ready. You see, we prepare. We clean. We anticipate. And your heart rejoices when you see the folks that you're expecting to come and arrive safely. Why is it that we show more respect to friends and relatives than we do to the Lord of glory, who loved us and gave Himself for us, who said very simply and pointedly, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And like I started the message tonight, there are days that we don't even give thought to this warning and this promise. You see, we ought to be getting ready. We ought to be waiting with great anticipation. And we're to live godly lives, holy and consecrated. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You think about what the Lord's done for you, how He saved you and cleansed you and washed you in His own blood, how He's put His Spirit within you, given you a book filled with truth and promises. And how often do we neglect the contents of this blessed book? A.W. Pink said of the passage in Titus, how clear it is from these words that the blessed hope is intended to check the spirit of self-pleasing and self-seeking in the believer and to promote holiness in daily life. The Bible says in 1 John 3:3, and everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Just think for a moment, theoretically. Imagine the transformation that would take place in our everyday lives if we really concentrated and lived in the earnest expectation of Christ's return. How fervently would we pray? How diligently would we study? How urgent would be our witness to others? How joyfully would we enter into fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We are to be found not only living godly lives, but we are to be found loyally and faithfully serving Jesus Christ in His church till He comes again. You see, you're not only saved by the grace of God, but God has blessed you with an additional favor by adding you particularly to his kind of church. What an honor to be a member of the kind of church that Jesus Christ started, promised perpetuity and succession to. We are in that holy line. Look over there in Mark chapter 13. In verse 34, Mark chapter 13 and verse 34. But of that, or verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. I believe the far journey is when he went from earth and ascended back into heaven. He left his house. The church that he had organized during his earthly ministry, he left them with the authority to carry out the great commission that he gave them. It says he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, if ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, Paul told the Romans, I've already quoted it in Romans 13, it's now high time that we wake out of sleep. We ought to be faithfully serving the Lord in His church. We ought to be carrying out the Great Commission, preaching the gospel, standing for the truths, and contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We ought to be living and teaching all things that He's commanded us, how to live, how to act, how to talk, how to serve. We ought to be faithful in God's house. You know, it grieves me when I see people forsake God's house for things that aren't going to matter in eternity. That's one thing to be providentially hindered, but it's another thing to put ball games or the television or something else in front of the Lord and His church. And if I, as a pastor, get grieved over that, just think of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible commands us, grieve not the Holy Spirit who you've been sanctified by. We're not to quench the Spirit. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another unto love, to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We ought to live with a real sense of urgency. Today could be our last day on earth as we know it. Now, I believe we're going to come back to the earth to live and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. But do you really believe He's coming again? I remember back in, I was saved in 1980, November of 1980. I can remember how the coming of Christ was, we talked about it all the time. The church that I attended a mission. I was one of the first ones saved in this mission work. And I can remember me and the guy that is now my brother-in-law. We would often talk about the coming of the Lord. But I didn't know much more than that. That in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. No matter what question somebody asked me, I just quote Ephesians 2, 8, 9. That's all I don't know about that, but I do know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, 2 weeks after the Lord saved me, He added me by scriptural baptism to this mission work. And I remember the day that I was baptized, the preacher said, well, I guess we'll see you tonight. And I was so naive, I didn't know that you could lie to the preacher. You know, I was just brand new saved. I said, no, I won't be there tonight. He was shocked. What do you mean, man? You've just been saved. I just baptized you. You're not coming to church tonight? I said, no, I've got to do a term paper. I was going to the University of Cincinnati. I said, I've got to get that done. He said, oh, wow, maybe we ought to discipline you. No, he didn't say that, but kind of looked like he felt like it. And I remember going home, and I tried to do some work on the term paper. And I didn't get much work done. I started getting convicted. Well, I didn't go to church that night. And I started calling Greg, the man that had witnessed to me, and we talked about the coming of the Lord a lot. I figured, well, he'll be home by 9 o'clock, because it was a 45-minute drive home. I called at 9 o'clock. Back then, you know, people didn't even have answering machines. No, I just kept ringing and ringing. I thought, wow, that's strange. Hope nothing happened to him. 10 o'clock, no answer. 11 o'clock. Man, by this time, I went in. My mom and dad were in bed. I still lived at home. I was 21 years old. I went in to my mom and dad's room. I said, hey, you think the rapture's happened? They said, what's the rapture? And the Lord's coming back. And they said, you're crazy. I said, I started getting nervous. Like, again, I didn't know nothing. I just knew the Lord. And I thought, you know what? The rapture's happened, and I'm left. I mean, it was tearing me up. I called at midnight. And Greg finally answered the phone. It's at midnight, and he says, hello. And I didn't even say, hey, this is Tom. Hey, how you doing? I said, oh, praise God. He said, who is this? Again, before caller ID. I said, it's Tommy. He said, what is wrong with you? I said, the rapture didn't happen, right? He said, no, what are you talking about? I said, brother, I missed church tonight. He said, I know. And I said, I thought the Lord was coming back. And I thought I'd been left. And that's a true story. That's how serious this doctrine was in my very newly saved brain. And I think, why can't I live that way every day? Believing that He's coming back at any moment and I should be prepared. We ought to live with a sense of urgency. We ought to live as though He's coming back again. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. How are you living tonight? In light of this truth that Jesus is coming again. He said, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Could be known. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Now, it's going to be a wonderful thing. Because this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We are going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him. This vile body is going to be changed like unto His glorious body. We are going to stand before the Son of Man in all of His glory and drink in His majesty and His power. But we're also going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How are you living in light of those facts? In light of those truths? Do people know that you're saved? Does everybody everybody within your sphere of influence know that you are a Christian dedicated to the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ? Here's what troubles me. Why are we so unaffected by a message like this? Now, right now, this may be sinking in, and your heart may be burdened and troubled. But how easily a message like this wears off. And we just go back right to the rut without thinking about the coming of the Lord. And it troubles me. Why do we remain cold and indifferent when messages like this are preached? Indifferent to the claims of Christ. Why aren't we more convicted consistently to live with a sense of urgency believing that Jesus is coming again? Well, we have the answer in Scripture. Matthew 24:12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We allow the things of the world to choke and to choke our fruitfulness and dim our spiritual sight. And I pray that God, if you want to see revival, I believe we need to start living as though the Lord could come back at any moment of any day. But how often are we like my boys? We're playing with our toys and not giving much thought to the seriousness of the promise and the warning that I'm coming back and you better be ready. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. May the Lord deal with us in grace and convict us to be able to say with John in response to this message when Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly," to be able to say joyfully, cheerfully, expectantly, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Brother,